Hey, everybody. I'm Michelle Collins, and welcome to Earwolf Presents, featuring an episode of my show, Midnight Snack. March is Women's History Month, and to celebrate, here is an episode featuring one of my favorite people ever, Kristen Chenoweth, who is a strong but tiny female lead, and we just love her so very much. Kristen Chenoweth is absolutely one of my favorite performers, people, interviews. She's so much fun and genuinely not just such a powerhouse voice, but everything she stands for, I just love. And so I'm really excited for all of you guys to hear my interview with her and also my co-host, Dan Acton. We unpack something. You might want to prepare yourself. Anyway, I'm Michelle Collins. If you want to match the voice with the face, you can follow me on Instagram at MishCall. And I'm very excited for you guys to hear this episode of Midnight Snack. Enjoy. Hi, everybody. It's Michelle Collins. Welcome to another sizzling hot episode of Midnight Snack. And this is a rare episode for a number of reasons. One, we're recording it on International Women's Day, which means that I, a woman, am working on this day, which I think is a little fucked up. Listen, can we be honest? It feels like a fake holiday. It's just like, okay.
Is it a holiday?
Yeah, Dan, it is a holiday. Okay. Anyway, back to us. It's Michelle Collins. It's Midnight Snack, but it's an interesting episode because normally we record this, Dan, it's like noon. And for me, it's usually 5 o'clock here in England. And it does have like afternoon energy a little bit. The difference now is I was having horrible acid reflux. Is this sexy to open with this? I think so. I was having like deadly acid. This is fun. I was having deadly acid reflux and we had to postpone our interview. I just really felt like shit. It's the second time it's happened to me, which we can talk about.
Oh, wow.
But it happened to me in Italy, and I literally thought I had a heart attack. Now I know that it's when I drink milk. For those listening, why did I drink milk? Who do I think I am? Remember the pig milk episode? A classic. A Midnight Snack classic. You tell me. I drank milk because I buy so many freaking tuna sandwiches at Joe and the Juice. They gave me a free shake.
Oh.
And I don't really do shakes. So I saw they had a coffee one. I thought this is good because I always, you know, buy their iced coffee to keep in the room. I thought, perfect. So we kept it a day in the room. And then during my radio show today, was sipping it. And it was, meanwhile, I'm like, why am I gaining weight? Meanwhile, I'm drinking coffee milk from the cow teat, suckling away like the little piggy I am, suckling away. And I drank like a whole big jug of this like coffee milk, half of which was grounds, which I don't even know. You know, it's like when in the espresso martini, when they put the beans in it, which I know is supposed to symbolize good luck.
Oh, yeah.
Keep the beans. I don't need the beans. It's annoying.
It's good
luck. They say three beans for luck. You never heard that? Three beans for luck and a cherry on top. Famous song. Listen, I don't feel like re-singing. I don't want to sing it again. Don't make me sing it again. It's bad luck to sing it more than once. That's also known. You can only sing it once a day. Anyway, so I had this whole milky concoction today and it was delicious. Yeah. You know what it tasted like? Melted Haagen-Dazs coffee ice cream.
Oh, that's nice.
Ooh, it was delicious. Yeah. Suckling away with a little brown milky mustache, having the time of my life. Anyway, the long or the short is I had such bad acid reflux that I couldn't, I had to lay down. I had to take like an hour long nap just to like forget about the pain, you know? So I think I'm off milk and I really want to cut carbs. Remember when I did that and it was like not a problem for me and I was motivated? How do I get back there mentally?
Yeah.
I know. So what happened?
You were doing like sashimi.
Yeah, you're right. I think it was easier in America because everybody in England eats bread. It's just, everyone is out there. It's like the lady in Beauty and the Beast all day. Everybody looks like that. They're all carrying around trays of loaves. I'm like, okay. So many trays of loaves. I'm like, can you put it down for 2 seconds? I have a question. Anywho, Dan Acton, Michelle Collins. So here's the point is that it's 11:15 p.m. now. And Dan is like in a very intimate spot because he's on my little laptop. And he's getting like a fortune version of me because I'm just like laying in bed.
It's my favorite site. Fortune.
Fortunes for luck and a cherry on top. So stupid. Anyway, you. No, you're really getting an ugly angle. I really like looked in the mirror and I'm like, oh, I physically changed. I texted a friend. I had, I did have dinner tonight, which I like, I did feel better. I took a, I have like old poison pills called ranitidine or something.
Oh.
It's a cure-all. It's a cure-all.
Are they like inside your fake tooth? Like you have a hollow tooth?
No, listen. No, listen.
End it all?
It's called End It All. And I swallowed it. And it didn't work. Damn it. Damn it. Not again. It didn't work. And here I am. That's why I have a new episode. My End It All didn't kick in. Fingies crossed for next week, people. Every week I try it out. This episode has been brought to you by End It All. It's just a quick trick to get rid of your problems in one fell swoop. End It All. No, ranitidine, Dan. It's ranitidine, and it's like an anti-acid pill that was taken off the market because it's literally rat poison, but I still have them from like 500 years ago. So anyway, make a long story short, I took it and I felt better. So I met my friend Brian Moylan tonight for dinner. We had delicious Middle Eastern food. But I texted him on the way. I was like looking at my outfit and I realized that like lately, the way that I'm dressing, I'm literally dressing like Fat Tomb Raider. Like that's just my look. And it's like, and that's not a bad thing. It's just legitimately exactly what I look like. It's just Fat Tomb Raider.
Refrigerator.
That's funny. I love our evening shows. Refrigerator is so funny. Lara Croft's refrigerator is literally gonna be my Halloween costume, except the joke is it's not a costume. It's literally what I fucking look like right now. Oh Lord, we're just two dumb pieces of shit, huh? Anyway, by the way, the longer the episode goes on, the further down the bed I slide. But in an hour, I'm gonna be just flat.
Yeah, I know.
I gotta sit up. All right, that's better. Anyway, so Danny boy, I don't know. I liked it better laying. I'm gonna lay again. Hey. I felt like it was like more like sleepover. Okay. It felt more fun. Okay, I'm
relax.
Back. Look at these big old titties, though, huh, Dan? Look at them. Mm. You're gonna tell me that's not Fat Tomb Raider right there?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah.
Dan's getting the whole show tonight. Men, there are like this two men on the planet who would pay a lot of money to see what you just saw. You don't even know. Like two, maybe three men. Maybe three men. Danny, what are some stories we have to catch up on? Because I feel like, you know what's funny? I feel like we do this podcast. We're actual real life friends. But then sometimes we like won't talk because it's like, well, let's save it for the pod. And then I'm like, but I want to talk to Dan. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I know. Well, I think this time you owed me a phone call. Like last week I owed you a phone call and then this week.
By the way, listener, I don't know what the hell he's talking about because who owes who a call? I said to you I was gonna call you. No.
Yeah. You were like 5 minutes.
Wait, that's true. Like, right. I'm sorry. Sorry, I'm so busy raiding the fridge. I didn't have time to pick up my phone and talk to you. You know what the truth is though? Because I was saying to Dan looks very skinny and you're looking great. And you said that you really do look skinny, honestly. Like, I'm looking at you. And it's funny, maybe we're in some sort of like mentally, spiritually symbiotic relationship where when you lose weight, I gain it. Is that possible?
Yeah, maybe, because like I think when you slimmed down, I was looking.
Do you know what I mean?
It kind of transfers over. Yeah.
Well, this is like a great competition. I realized today, like, you know when like people date feeders, I'm like, what if I'm my own feeder? It's like self-pleasuring.
It's like well, it's like hot potato, like one of us.
Did someone say potatoes?
What's the news?
Excuse me. Sorry, you just reminded me. I've got some ice cold fries in the fridge. No, I don't. Wait, so listen, let's talk about it. But what was the thing you told me to take? Mm. What was the pill? End It All?
End It All? Oh, no. Wait, the pill for health? I tried taking this thing called turkesterone, and it's totally legal. And you can get it on Amazon and everything. And it's really helping with like working out. And
of a bump? Like, is it giving you kind of energy?
Yeah,
I need that.
For sure.
Do you know, I talked about it on my radio show today that Robin Dixon from The Real Housewives of Potomac, she wrote this whole long Instagram post about how she's just been diagnosed with adult ADHD. And I was reading about all of her symptoms and legitimately it was like someone wrote an article about me. I'm like, oh my God, I have all of those things. Wow. But like, what's the solution? Just Coke? Like, what do I, here we go. Turkesterone, German pharma. Yeah. How it works from the Tampa Bay Times. Did you know it's also known as the Ajuga Turkestanica extract? That's what I call my boobs. Ajuga.
So stupid.
Sorry. But it's a steroid, Danny. I can't take a steroid. I look like Liz Taylor.
No, it's not a steroid. It's not
an ectosteroid.
Well, it's a different
and let
word.
Me tell you something else. The last thing I need is to increase my testosterone. I already grow like a full soul patch. It says turkesterone also has adaptogenic properties, benefits of mental health by, ooh, I need this, alleviating anxiety. Another advantage, it does not, and it doesn't amplify testosterone levels. Is this real or is this like a Dr. Oz pill?
I think it's real because I took it and I feel great and positive.
Do you know that it's sold on a website like called gorillamind.com? Now I'm sold. I wasn't sold until that.
I get it from this YouTube fitness guy who literally, like, he has an amazing physique. He talks like Gilbert Gottfried. Like, he, like, screams at you. But and I used to, like, hate it. But now I'm, like, into it after, like, 100
hours. Well, it's Dan also, Dan will send me, like, screenshots of the videos he's watching. And it's just like, Horace Mayhart plays the harpsichord in 1916. It's just, he's always finding the weirdest shit. I'm like, oh, yeah. What? Yeah, and then you send it to me. I'm like, why do I want to see this? Okay, no, I'm kidding. It says turkesterone is to animals and plants what testosterone is to humans. I already don't like this. And researchers, I mean, because literally, you're going to end up seeing me on the pod.
The gorilla,
like 2 weeks
though?
From, I'm going to be like, so Dan, what's new? Talk to me. Okay, wait. You know, I can do very deep. I can go deep voice. But it says you might want to dial back before buying it. I want to read about this. Researchers thought we could consume turkesterone to build more muscle, but it has no science to back up the argument. Don't be mad at me. I'm reading from google.com. The latest study says that after 10 weeks of men training, the group that was supplementing with this stuff saw bigger muscle gains. Here we go. However, the study has a few red flags, such as unreliable testing machines. Okay, the dropout. Okay, Theranos, what's this about? Only when you have all the data. I mean, this is so boring. Why? Oh, my God. Is this your guy?
Yeah. No, jeez, but I know who that is.
I bet you do. I bet you know who that is. Well, I'm just afraid to try it because anything that, like, will kick in, I can't push my testosterone, you know what I mean, any higher.
No.
It's like I've lasered all my shit off already. Like I can't financially afford to take this. If my hair grows back, like I can't do it. Do you have any good stories to talk to me, Danny? What's up?
I told you about the Viking Museum. They have a funny thing that they have there that I discovered, so I could send
Please send it to
you.
Me. Okay. I'm excited. I feel like I had a story that I was like, save it for the pod. I nearly died on an escalator today. Do you care about that?
No. Did you get how?
What were you going to ask? Because your mind went somewhere.
Did you get like stuck in the
I'll tell you what happened. This idiot, classic English guy, like flat nostril, you know, Richard Scarry's busy, busy world face. You get it. Later Hosen, the little green hat. Picture it.
Classic Englishman. Yeah.
Swastika armband. Just follow me here. Anyway, no.
So this
guy, but like a well dressed guy, but you know, clearly going to work, had a box. Genuinely, it was the size of maybe the biggest box UPS. It was huge. It was like this big white rectangular box on one of those hand cars, but it was really like massive to the point where it blocked almost the entire escalator. So normally, you know, there's a rule in England where you like stay to the right so people can walk down on the left. No one could pass because of how big this box was, took up the whole thing. Just picture it. So I'm behind him. I'm like three steps behind him. And as he's walking off and pulling this hand car to leave, he pulls it so he doesn't wait until like the step is flat. He pulls it so it like has to like bop down like 2 inches because the step is still up. And the box fell off the hand car. Now, mind you, I'm coming. Like, the thing is, I'm sold coming.
Yeah. Well, yeah. There was
nowhere, like, I couldn't step around it. It was like, okay, I'm going to fall over this box. Yeah.
Oh, no.
And so I got, right. I went, had my mask on, and I was just like, okay, this is scary. And then I went, fucking asshole. Like, I didn't say it like that. I think I said it after I passed. I was like, fucking asshole. But he really was an idiot. Like, be careful, because look what could have happened. I didn't even turn around to see. But mainly, right. he started to panic, understandably, and, like, was trying to put it back on the dolly. But at this point, it was, like, off of it. Like, yeah. At this point, it was done. Like, the whole thing was a mess. And I just, like, right. put my hand on his back and, like, almost used it. And I just hopped over the box. And I got out unscathed. I actually, like, walked away, like, completely unharmed, and it's sort of a miracle. And I really thank my long yeah. legs, because if I was a short person, that wasn't yeah. happening. It was That's really scary.
Have you ever seen when escalator, like, stairs just, like, no. drop out? Like, you can fall. It's like,
wait, what? That's horrified. Happened before? Like where I've seen it. Where it just drops. Happened.
I think if they're fixing it, you just don't know. It's like very deep, like scary. When you look into it.
So Dan just sent me an article. It's called the Lloyds Bank Coprolite. No. What is this? First of all, where did you even find this?
I was looking at the Viking Museum of York, which I think you should go to.
Oh, it's here in England?
And this.
Oh, go on.
Yeah. So you could go. And I was looking at, like, what, you know, famous exhibits yeah. they have, and this was one of the things that you can
you
go
see how far York is from London while I read this. First yeah, of all, so. Can I just say why this is also absolutely so funny? So first of all, isn't Lloyd's of London, like, people always get their legs insured by Lloyd's of London for, like, $1 million?
Yeah, they
or
always,
their
yeah, they
get, or whatever.
That's true.
Well, this yeah. Lloyd's Bank, yeah. so Lloyd's of London, here it's called a coprolite, and it is a large piece of shit. It is large desiccated human dung specimen. That is really big. How many inches is it? Do they say? Oh my God.
Yeah,
okay. Ew, this is really gross. Are we really going to do this?
It's up to you. It's 4 hours.
All right, I'm in. It's practically next door. Okay. It says, archaeologists, first of all, how on earth to the first of all, I'm sorry. You're an archaeologist. You're digging. You're hoping to find, I don't know, a Roman vase, maybe a dinosaur tooth. And instead you find an 8-inch long desiccated piece of shit. And then the bank insures it. Then the bank names it. It's like the MetLife Stadium. It's the Lloyd's Bank piece of shit here. Desiccated human dung. It says here they were excavating the Viking settlement of Jorvik, now York in England. By the way, Wikipedia mm-hmm. is so funny. It has a picture of it. I mean, listen, for those who don't want to see it, let me just describe it. It looks like a made big old piece of shit. I mean, there's nothing about it that looks old. It looks like a big piece of shit. I've seen this on 8th Avenue and 52nd Street.
That's right.
Like, on the ground. So I don't know why this is, like, at a museum. Have these people been to a New York City? It's all over the floor there. Okay, so material. Here it says, it's so, like, scientific. Material. Human excrement. Now, there is a little thing there. This is from someone named Tony Horwitz. It says, it may not be the Lost Ark, but then Andrew isn't exactly Indiana Jones. That's what the article that cites it.
Okay. So it's right. So it's making fun of yeah. the guy that discovered it?
That's
that
funny.
He wasn't looking for turds.
By the way, the hold on a minute. Him. Have you never seen the famous documentary about this called Looking for Turds? Looking. Okay. Created. Hilarious. How do they know when it was created? And they're like, did they find, like, the Taco Bell remnants from the 9th century AD? Okay.
They ate the receipt.
That's hilarious. Okay, so it was found in 1972 beneath the site of what was to become the York branch. Oh my God, that is hilarious. It was found under the freaking bank. I thought the bank. Wait, this is very funny. Dan, thank you. Dan always finds the best shit. Literally. No, actually, Andrew found the best shit. Technically, you didn't find the best shit. Literally. Oh my God, this is so funny. I just saw something that's making me laugh so much. Can you imagine your Lloyd's Bank? Imagine what if it had been, what if it had been like, you know, like a baby shoe store or something like so innocent. And like, oh, this is the pee in the pod, desiccated shit. It was found under a pee in the pod in Schenectady. It says here, so it's found under the Lloyd's Bank. I thought that they insured it, which, by the way, I had respect. I was like, yeah, insure it. Maybe the largest example of fossilized human feces ever found. They apparently they have not been to my hotel room. No, I don't know what I'm saying. I'm sorry. Wait.
What?
I don't know. Measuring 8 inches long and 2 inches wide. Ladies, International Women's Day. International Women's Day. Analysis of the stool has indicated that its producer, okay, IMDb credit, IMDb credit. I better get a credit on IMDb. I better get a credit on IMDb for producing this. I'm gonna shit, literally. Subsisted largely, this is how you know it's in England. Subsisted largely on meat and bread, whilst the presence of several, oh my God. This is horrible. You read this? The presence of several hundred parasitic eggs suggests they were riddled with intestinal worms. Aww.
Oh. I didn't want to spoil myself.
Exactly. Yeah. This and the Batman. Or this is a new movie Robert Pattinson called The Scatman. Okay, I'm so fucking good. I'm telling you, we got to do late night records all the time. I am duty. Come on. Okay, wait. I love when I'm like proud of myself for thinking of something. Okay. In 1991, the York Archaeological Trust employee and this is hysterical. Are you ready? Paleoscatologist. Now, here's a question. This guy's name is Andrew Jones. So this is the Andrew. Made international. This is literally the funniest thing I've ever read in my life. And I'm sorry that I even doubted you for one split second to be like, is this making me? Andrew Jones made international news, this paleoscatologist, with his appraisal of the item for insurance purposes. I got to sit up for this because I got to do an accent. This is the most exciting piece of excrement I've ever seen. In its own way, it's as irreplaceable as the crown jewels. He's right. Hold on a minute. By the way, if I ever am an Oscar nominee, guess what I'm wearing around my neck? I'm like, put a chain on it. This is the most. Can we look this man up? Paleoscatologist. I got to see what this dude looks like. Because first of all, is he German? Number one question. Paleoscatologist. It has to be, right? By the way, I just realized I'm being so loud. Yes, 2016. Paleoscatologists dig up stools as precious as the crown jewels. Wait, there's a big old. Hold on. This article in The Guardian has a picture of this piece of shit. It is so big. It is so big. Hey, by the way, it's so phallic. I'm sorry. Look at this one. Dan, look at this.
Wait.
Where? This is so foul. I'm so sorry. But also, I sent it to you. Wait, look at Andrew. Do you know what his middle name is? This paleoscatologist, his name is Andrew Bone Jones. They call him Bone. No. Oh, do you see? Look how dick shaped it is. Look at that. Very. Yes.
I mean, that's a real Viking.
These Vikings. Yeah. Huh. Wait, let me see the rest of this. The layers. Okay. It says here, the layers that covered the piece of shit were moist and peaty. Mm-mm. They preserved not only the shit, but also timber, textiles, and leather. So it's on to play. On to play. Good night. It's on display at this York Archaeological Trust. No. No.
What? Somebody
close. In 2003, it broke into three pieces after being. Too bad when the guy made it. I bet he's like from heaven being like, what? I wish that would have happened when it was coming out. It broke into three pieces after being dropped whilst on exhibition to a party of visitors, and efforts were taken to reconstruct it. Oh my God. What were they using to bind it? I can't believe it broke into three pieces. Maybe that's why it has those splits in it. Now I'm seeing the shape makes more sense a little bit. Can you imagine you're the person who broke? I mean, how is there not a movie about this? The person at the party who broke it. I mean, they're passing around this ancient piece of shit, literally. And you drop it? Oh my God. This is unbelievable. Wait, can I please keep reading? I'm sorry. You know what's funny? They were like, please limit it to 30 minutes. I was like, you got it. Poor Kristen Chenoweth. You know, she's so lovely. And this is who we're interviewing after this. She's so great. Kristen, we love you so much. Please don't be mad, but this is important. This is science. Now, hold on. This interview says this shit is only 7 inches long. So which is it? Wiki? Shittypedia? Is it 8 or 7?
Well, that's right? Interesting. So, maybe before they reconstructed it.
They lost an inch. This is an interview with this Andrew Bone Jones scatologist by Kirsty Brewer. On reflection, the canteen was probably not the best place to loudly conduct an interview about poo and parasitic worms. I'm locked in already. The conversation was not intended to spill into the lunch hour, but Dr. Andrew Bone Jones, an enthusiastic paleoscatologist for over 30 years, had plenty to say. We gotta get him on the show. We have to get him on the show. I need Andrew Bone Jones, enthusiastic scatologist, his opening gambit. I want to see this. Forget the Queen's Gambit. Give me the Scat Gambit. I want to see it. Just big duty chess pieces. I'm seeing it on the ceiling tonight. Okay. Did you know, Dr. Andrew Bone Jones, did you know the biggest parasitic nematode, that's worm, in the world is 9 meters in length and is only found in the placenta of a sperm whale? Classic Andrew Jones. This is so funny. Okay, picture. Okay, in your mind, listener, close your eyes. I want you to picture what you think a paleoscatologist looks like. Now I'm going to read you something, and I guarantee you this fact I'm going to read you make clicks with your image. Jones, rarely seen without a bow tie. Of course he wears bow ties. Someone who studies ancient shit for a living every morning is like, goo, 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 like pulling it and leaving. Is an archaeologist who specializes in excrement, scatology, and parasites, parasitology. I'm sure I'm saying that wrong. Now officially retired. What? Andrew.
Come on. I guess once you've reached this,
I guess
like,
once you
level.
Find a 9-inch long shit under a bank, you're like, well, they gave him a gold watch. Yeah. They're like, here you go. Okay. He spent over 3 decades working for the York Archaeological Trust. It was there in the Trust's archives he discovered the fabled Lloyd's Bank turd. That's what it says. A hefty specimen belonging to a Viking with very itchy bowels, believed to be the largest intact piece of fossilized human feces ever found. Guys, let's talk about it. There are times, and it's been a minute for me because I think I have some real like digestion issues where like you can make one where you're like, I wish I could take a picture of this and show it to my children. You know what I mean?
Once in
a blue moon.
Yeah,
oh, and it just in one piece and you're like, this is the greatest moment. This is the greatest thing I've ever produced on IMDb. Okay. But let me just say, I wish that mine could also be fossilized and put in a museum, you know, like in all seriousness. I don't know about these Vikings.
What? You have to start shitting underneath banks.
Done. Easy. Today, the stool, as precious as the crown jewels, according to Jones, can be seen at the Jorvik Viking Center in York. The most exciting thing about it, he says, are you ready, is the infestation of eggs discovered inside. I'm like sick, actually. I feel sick. A parasitic worm that was in the insides of our ancestors. Okay, dirty. They bore through tissue and have been known to emerge from every orifice of the human body. Okay, I can't read this.
No,
he said, isn't that horrible? With an infectious glee. That's what he said. Yes. another common discovery in old fecal matter are Trichuris nematodes. Dan, isn't that the supplement you're taking? God, I'm good. God, I'm good. Or whipworms. They can be whipworms that can be found living in their hundreds inside the gut. What? The biggest infestation Jones ever found was 3,000 worms. They were a part of every... These worms have been an everyday part of people's lives. Children would pass them. People would cough them up. They'd be particularly prominent at the end of people's lives. I didn't know that we lived with worms like that. What? I really don't want to have worms. I don't. Dan, is that the secret? Are you taking worms? That's why you're looking skinny. Listen, I think my most interesting discovery is just how widespread parasitic diseases were in Western Europe before the introduction of flushed laboratories. Okay, blah, blah, blah. We go on to talk about worms that, okay, this is good. The worm shit has to stop. It's like too much.
Yeah.
While there is
yeah,
so much gross. Emphasis on appreciating the marvels of the latest Venus statue to be found in a pit in Tunis, this is so pretentious, or the like, it is the excrement unearthed alongside these marvels that can tell us how real people lived. I mean, it's interesting, actually. Yeah.
That is true. I mean, he's right. He's right.
He says here, parasitologists meet irregularly. LOLOL. You know that they put that in there on purpose. There is. And can be found in clusters at mummy conferences. What? I want to go. What? There are mummy conferences?
Mummy conferences.
I want to go. Oh my God. That's so fun. Do you think they have like toilet paper wrapping contests? The like icebreaker? That is so fun. Oh my God. Okay, wait, where was I? I got excited about the idea of that. Like, can you imagine you're going to stay at Hilton for a wedding and you just see all these like old weirdos. You're like, what is this? So, like mummy conference. Can you believe? Same weekend as my wedding. Okay. Up the Andes or in the churches in Italy where there are specimens ripe for medical examination. Oh Lord. Jones will often find himself in damp, waterlogged sites. Most recently, he has done work in Pompeii with the University of Bradford, taking scrapings of white incrustations found inside pipes in Roman toilets. I got to stop here. When I stayed at, famously, the Soho House in Rome, I mean, Dr. Bone Jones should get his ass over there because the whole hotel smelled like shit. I swear to God, there was shit coming up from the papal times of the 15th century. It stunk. As a teen, how does one become a scatologist? I know you're asking. As a teen, what kind of teen do you think he was? Like a guy who studies like ancient shit for work? It's kind of amazing, honestly. Like, I'm not mocking the man. I kind of think it's awesome, to be honest. Yeah.
No, he's cool.
As a teen, Jones got involved in archaeological excavations. It was enormously sociable, and I discovered you could have fun exploring mud. I'm like, Dan, come on. Fetish. Some of that was excrement, and I just fell into it. You don't say. His upbringing on a dairy farm in Devonshire meant he was never one to be prissy about poo. Cows aren't the most continent animals. They just crap anywhere when it suits them. So excrement was just part of... Are you laughing? So excrement was just part of my cultural heritage. Okay, who cares? He remembers the mixture of excrement and mud that the cattle would traipse through a mess known in Devonshire as stug. Stug. That better be a Wordle word. So it's only four letters. Wait a minute.
Yeah, right.
I've seen some right old stugs in my time, I can tell you. It was hard to make a living. People usually like don't just study shit. They move on to pollen, he says. Jones has expertise in fish remains. Oh, jeez. He must like love his stink. Is there a fetish where you love like bad smells? There's got to be.
I believe there is. There was actually just a party in in New York, and it got like these things come and go. Like I've been in New York for a while. The BO party is a thing that like comes and goes. But this one got like written up in the New York Times. Like the guy was so proud of it, and like the last
it was
line
just to have BO.
Yeah, basically, it's like a no. Yeah, like, you know, it's like pheromones or something. But the funny part was like, I think the last line of the little article was like, they interviewed the bartenders and they all said they like hated working on it.
Yeah, like, of course.
Really not looking forward to it.
By the way, of course. Anyway, this is almost done, but it says, you've got to be prepared to spend hours and hours looking down at microscopes, but you have to be sociable. And then you need to be able to write up your findings or nobody will know you found anything. Well, that seems obvious. Finally, it is important to keep a sense of perspective. Quote, because you're actually just looking at bits of excrement, Let's face it, it's a bit odd. But I am proud to be called a scatologist, and the world needs a small number of people like me. Classic words, small number.
Small number.
Yeah, he doesn't want anyone inching into his territory. Oh, he's raising money for the, right. Oh no, for the center. It was damaged in the floods of 2015. Can you imagine if the shit had floated away in the floods? I'm like, what is that? That's the Lloyds Bank turd. Grab it. Guys. That's the Lloyds Bank turd. Wait, should I really go up? I have to be honest with you. If I could, if I knew how to drive in England, I actually would consider going. It's so funny. Weren't we going to also look at that? What was the thing like that golem we were going to go look at? The giant? Remember?
Oh, yeah. Cardiff Giant.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got to go see the Cardiff Giant.
Dan's like a real Ripley's, believe it or not, when it comes to just everything on the planet. But he really knows what I'm going to appreciate. Like, that was very funny. So thank you, Dan. I mean, please. The Lloyds Bank turd is something. My face is like every muscle in my mouth is just pulling back. It's so funny. Well, listen, I don't know. Do we do a buffer convo before we welcome Kristen Chenoweth to the show? It doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right to go from this to Kristen Chenoweth. Right. And yet we're going to. I love Kristen Chenoweth. I'm so excited. She's the best. So much fun.
Yeah, she's awesome.
I know. Do you want to sing anything with me? I'm kidding. Big plans ahead the week, Dan. I'm just trying to buffer it out before Kristen comes here.
Totally.
Any BO parties coming up?
No.
All right. Well, Dan Acton, always truly the best pleasure to see you and talk to you. And everybody who listens to the podcast, whenever I meet them, they always go, oh, we love Dan. Everyone loves your laugh. They love you. Yes.
Oh, that's nice.
You're the best laugh in the biz, babe. And you know I'm a Shaw. Obviously, you know that already. Yeah. Should I take this? What is it called? Turkmenistan? Weigh in the comments below. We are going to say goodbye to Dan. Dan, we love you. Thanks again. And I think it's time we welcome our guest. Just someone I look at and it's like human Zoloft. Like I look at her face and I feel happy. I feel skinnier and lovelier and I'm glowing just seeing her. Not only is she an Emmy and Tony Award winning actress, I would say arguably the most talented person, especially per inch. You know what I mean? Like per inch, the most talent of maybe anybody on the planet. She has a new children's book out called What Will I Do With My Love Today? And I love that title so much. If you don't already, follow her on Twitter and Instagram at Kay Chenoweth. Just a dream come true. Kristen Chenoweth, I miss you and I adore you. How are you?
Thank you for that beautiful introduction. B, I miss you too. New York misses you, but you know what? You're in my, I have to say, my second favorite city.
Smart.
I love London so much. And just Europe in general. And I'm a little jelly that you're there.
I understand. That's why I did it. I pretty much came here to just make you furious. And my job here is done.
It worked. Congratulations.
Wait, have you been, you must have been in the West End and done huge shows here. What shows were you in here?
I have done, I have been lucky enough to have been offered shows, long running shows on the West End, but I couldn't make it happen in my schedule, but I have done concerts at two at the Royal Albert Hall, my own there, one at the Palladium, of my own concert, and one at the Donmar. So I've played some of the best halls in the world that are in London, happen to be in the, you know, of every place in the world. Yeah. They're stunning. I've sung in the at the Palace.
Oh my God. Have you met the Queen? You met the Queen? No.
Yes. and His Majesty, who recently passed.
Oh, yes.
I really, really, really love that family. I mean, I don't know them, but it was when we had President Obama and we were doing our state dinner where we give them a dinner, they give us a dinner. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how or why she knew of me, but she said, I like this little thing with this girl. And Mr. President Obama asked me to come and sing on behalf of our country. And I asked a little birdie over there that works at the palace and is involved with the family. I said, can you find out their favorite song? And it was ironically from Oklahoma, and you know I'm from Oklahoma.
Yeah.
But it was, people will say we're in love. And so I did about a 30-minute set, and I kind of ended with that because you don't start with that when that's their favorite song. And I literally, because they said she's very stellar, you know, she's very professional, very, they told me there was a tear in her eye. And then he was so lovely, came right up to me after it was over, like literally was like, come. And just like, and I got, you know, personal connection.
I felt,
and you know, they probably make a lot of people feel that way. But I have a very, I am one of the people in this world that likes the monarchy, that there's many. And that there's, you know, there's always going to be haters that we don't need. I like the monarchy, and I'm not British, but I like the monarchy. I like the tradition of it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I think it helps that you're not English, because I feel like a lot of people here in England have their issues with them. But I'm from the camp, and I don't know why we can't do this, where I like everybody. I like Harry and Meghan. Okay. I like the monarchy. And I really mean that. Like, I like the drama involved. Kristen, I'm not going to say that I don't read the Daily Mail, because I do. Okay.
I mean, who doesn't read the Daily? Especially fun when you're in it. And it's not true. And you read it and you go, but look what else I'm learning about. I don't know. It's, there's just something about the place. And it's just, when I'm not there, I miss it.
I got you.
And I will return. I've been trying to figure out, we've been trying to work on bringing a show that I've done before, a Broadway show to for a limited run. But with everything that's going on, I'm just waiting a little bit more safety to go over there right now.
Well,
do you know what I mean?
I mean, 100%. And I'll tell you, it's like Mad Max here. Like nobody, even when the mask mandate was happening, people here, they welcome death is what I've decided. I had to come to that conclusion that they all just have a death wish. Like they want to die. That's why they drink so much. That's why they act just... I mean, genuinely, you know what I realized having been here now? I've spent almost 6 months here for the past year. Like I'm almost at my visa max. The weather is so depressing that really by month 4 or 5, like my teeth started to rot. I'm drinking more. I'm like, oh, I now understand why everybody, like I got wind burn. You know what I mean? I look old. I came here looking radiant, and I'm looking at pictures now from even last year. And I'm like, I look fucking old because of this cold, you know, loveless country. When you said the queen shed a tear, I actually thought to myself, that was probably the last bit of moisture in her body. They don't drink water here. They don't hydrate here. They drink beer. She loves a gin. She's 95. God bless.
I can't blame her. Can't blame her on that one either. You know, what's funny is if you think about this, this is what I thought too. I came to really understand in my tiny little head and from my tiny little town that they're so much older. They have so much more history. We are such a young baby country that of course we're going to be like, they have a death wish. No, they've just been to the picnic, rodeo, barbecue, and they're probably like, eh, you know,
we are still so
young. And that's the way I kind of, because I couldn't get over the architecture.
Oh, it's the most beautiful place.
Yes, I went to New Orleans. I was like, wow, this reminds me of France. Well, duh. You know, that's what the whole city was like sort of based on.
That's how I feel at the Parisian in Vegas, or what is that called? The Paris? Like when I go to the Venetian. I was in Venice, Kristen Chenoweth. This was maybe 2 months ago I was there. It was empty. It was really a magical time to be there because of COVID. There weren't a lot of people there. And I was walking around and I go, Venice is unbelievable. But I was walking and I thought, it's not that different from the Venetian when they're like those old guys carving your clay busts and doing caricatures there. There's something, if you've never been to Italy, it's close. You can almost fool the mind that you've been, don't you think? A little bit.
Just go to Vegas and hit every country.
Yes, 100%. You're right, though, about the history here. And I have to tell you, one of the reasons I love being here and why I've spent so much time, funny people, and also I always feel cute. Like if I'm in Hampstead or Marylebone or one of these like Bridget Jonesy kind of neighborhoods, I immediately feel young and cute versus like Hell's Kitchen, where I feel like the Hunchback of Notre Dame. And I'm, you know what I mean? You get it. Have you ever felt cute in Hell's Kitchen in your whole life? I know no.
Not once.
Thank you.
Not once.
Thank you. Exactly.
Not once.
I'm bringing up a good point.
There is something. Can I just say this too about, and I'm a proud American. You know I am.
Same.
I feel like we compete so hard. And I know there's competition in, for how you look in every part of the world. But there's almost like a feeling there that, like, you know, we've graduated.
Yes.
You guys knock yourselves out. And it's something to admire because, especially when I go to LA, and I live there as well, but it's not, it's very how you look. And eventually you can start getting like crazy, like, oh my gosh, I don't look right. I don't look right. And that's ridiculous.
It's
that's
very ridiculous. American. I have to completely agree. When I lived in LA, and the joke is that I wasted my most beautiful years. I was there from 30 to 35. And I felt like Jessica Tandy. I was like, okay, I'm going to actually off myself because everybody here was implants and the Botox. And this is before I Botoxed, you know. And here, you're right. They accept being haggard. And I'm not saying that as a dig, but it's really true yeah. that they just don't care in the same kind of a way. And it's very refreshing, even fashion-wise, outside of like a Knightsbridge and a Chelsea where they really get dressed up, you know. It's relaxed. They look like Mary Poppins or Mrs. Doubtfire. They just give up. And I like that too. I know.
Well, then that's kind of attractive, to be honest.
Let's not get crazy. Listen, Kristen, listen, I know you're trying to keep your fans over here.
As I brush my teeth, it has that lighted utensil in it so that my teeth may come whiter.
I'm dying. By the way, you really do look good, though. I haven't seen you for pre-pandemic. I don't think we've talked probably in 2 years. And of course, I love interviewing you in person because it reminds me of like when Jay Leno would be next to Shaq because I'm like so tall and you're so petite.
You're so tall and I'm so short. Remember when we very first met?
I bodyguarded you to the lobby. I was like, I love my little angel over here. But I feel like a lot's happened since I talked to you. You're married.
Yes.
You got married.
I'm engaged.
Forgive me.
No, it's okay.
Can we talk about your engagement? Let's talk about it. Because last time I saw you, you were in a relationship. But I feel, I'm going to say this, and this is on a Zoom, I see the engagement glow busting through your face. And it could be that green juice you're sipping. I don't know what it is. But you really look good. What's going on with you?
Honestly, I am happy overall. Now, there's a misconception about me. I always say this to people because they think it's rainbows and glitter and unicorn all the time for me. And of course, it would appear that I have no problems. I don't have bad days. That's, of course, bullshit. I'm human. These past 2 years have been a real, like, I went from 180 to zero, like you. Mm. We don't stop.
Yeah.
And when you stop, you have no choice but to listen harder. And at this great man in my life, he was just showing me who he is over and over every day. And I never was one that needed that piece of paper and he did say to me early on, you know, that would be important to me one day. That just is. And I went to Canada. I shot a great, we had a blast. It was right at the height pre-vaccination for Schmigadoon for TV.
Such a funny show. And yeah.
So funny. But three months later, or maybe 2.5 months later, I come back and it was around Thanksgiving. And I said to him, I'm never going to let you go.
Oh.
I think in a way, also, even though Canada is our good friends, we're still foreigners. We're still our foreigners there, right? And I missed my guy.
And then that
kind of just changed. This whole time, I think it's either brought people together
100%.
Or split them up.
Everybody. I sometimes in my low points, I'll go on the Real and look at all the engagement rings that are for sale and just think that's at a low point after like swiping for an hour. And I'm like, well, they're out there, Kristen. You know what I mean? Like there's every single ring is a person back out there. And
remember, I've been engaged twice before and runaway bride. And it's marriage is so much more than a freaking ring.
I know.
Because You got to actually live with the person.
Well, listen, I've never been married, but I watch so much horrible reality TV that is centered around the concept of marriage. I mean, well, I know you and Andy are the best of friends, my king. But are you watching? Can I ask you a question? Not to like segue into garbage.
Sure I'm watching it, but go ahead.
Okay, that's my gift. You know that, segueing straight into the trap.
Oh, I think you're a great segueist. Is that a word?
Oh, it sure is. I like back up on my segue out of the frame. Listen, have you watched Married at First Sight or Love is Blind and or?
Okay.
All right. Now we're in a fight. We're in a fight. I feel it happening.
Have we met?
First of all,
Married at First Sight, I don't know whether to cry or laugh. I watched this during Canada. I thought, well, what am I going to watch?
Yeah.
Love is Blind. I have not seen season two, but I watched season one. And I have to say, watching people fall in love that haven't seen each other, there was such a... It was such a great experiment, if you will. And I would be anxious now to say what I really like for them to do. Vanessa and Nick, I hope you're listening because we all tuned in. I'd like to see who actually lasted.
Yes. Well, I'm very excited for your journey into season two because I've seen every episode and I will tell you, and I'm very honest, you know, I don't get paid by Netflix or anybody to talk it up or down.
Me neither.
It's phenomenal.
What?
It's very, very good. And I wouldn't lie to you because I'll tell you something. This season of Married at First Sight, and I actually have been paid by Lifetime, amazingly. Lately, remember when I was on television for like 5 seconds? Amazingly, I find a little boring. There's only like two couples that I'm really enjoying, which is Lindsay and that
it's
boss.
It's not like us.
You agree. It's not as good.
I'm disappointed.
I am too. And that guy that they put Lindsay with, who has like no lips and plucked eyebrows, the guy from Boston,
wouldn't happen.
They're both horrible. I'm like, sometimes I feel that horrible people end up together, and that's like my ideal because it's two bad people out of the way. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, cancel each other out. Good luck to the both of you. And it happens a lot.
I love that.
It happens a lot.
That means more room for us, the good people.
Well, you would hope so. But then you also know how many assholes are still floating around there. And we've all been tricked, certainly. What do you think about the idea of marrying without like arranged marriages? Because we've seen it work. But do we, people are selfish now, maybe.
Oh, we're totally selfish. Yeah. Hello? I mean, I don't know. I have a lot to learn from the younger generation. I'm 53 now, and I have a lot to teach as well, right? So it's full circle. But what is really hurting my heart for the younger generation is they life is so like the word no or my feelings. Like now, there's something for us to learn and take from that, which is. Like, be aware, you know, don't be so like not hardened, but there's gotta be a happy middle in there, which is why we learn from each other and why we remember our past so we don't hopefully continue to bang our head up against the wall and repeat our mistakes. Mm-hmm. But I've watched shows about arranged marriage. There was another one, I can't remember. It took place in India. Oh. No, it took place in LA. It took place in LA, but it was
on Netflix. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
I
liked it a lot.
Loved.
And you know, it can work, but here's the thing. Our world is changing and it's changing so fast. And if somebody can't, I think I did a quote on Twitter just the other day because I'm 53. I like Twitter. just the other day. And I won't get the exact quote right, but it goes something like this. How can you take someone along to grow with you if they don't like your growth? Because we're always changing, evolving, and growing, becoming better, right? And I don't know. I think if I'd been married to the person that I was engaged to when I was 20, I'd be divorced.
For sure.
And, you know, I just think, well, I think that was lucky. So yeah, arranged marriages can work, but I find that would be more about just like luck. And also, as my parents say to me all the time, there used to be a time, Christine, when people just figured it out.
Yes.
You made a vow and you figured it out.
My parents, too.
They
hate each other, Kristen. They literally hate each other. Still married 50 years. Go on.
My parents, I said to my mom one day, this was several years back, mom and dad were helping me get over an injury. I was very injured on a set, and they came in. I had to be there for 2 months. And dad went to run to CVS or something. I said, Mom, what's the key? What is the key? She goes, oh, I just can't bear them. And then she says, I love them so much.
Yes.
And I thought, there's something in there.
That's it. It has to be a real love, though. You know, I feel like lately, and I have friends and, you know, who've done this too, where people just get desperate. You know, I turned 40 last summer, and it's one of the reasons actually why I'm here, because...
Baby, that's a baby. You're a baby.
Okay, I knew that you would say, I just love you so much, but I just felt like I was like sort of aging out of New York in a weird way, maybe because I'd been there so long, that I just needed something new. I had like mild midlife crisis. I'm like, I got to leave New York for 2 minutes.
I understand that.
You know, I didn't want to get like smeared with feces on the train. You get that. Like...
Oh, I don't know why you didn't want that.
Yeah, I know some people in Germany like that. It just like wasn't for me, but... The point is that I do feel like people just get desperate. They find someone and they're like, let's do it, you know, but it's a huge mistake. I know.
Yes. 2 years later, we're getting the divorce. They met, you know, look, I have been tomfoolery before.
Yeah, of course.
There's been men that have presented, and I've also had wonderful men in my life who I wasn't ready for at the time. I think a lot of it is in the timing. And I speak this to you as woman to woman.
Thank you.
As someone who lived longer than you.
Mm.
Okay. As someone who it happened for later in life.
Mm.
You cannot plan it. It will happen and it will not be any... people used to tell me this all the time. And by the way, I never really... My focus was on different things.
Same. I was a little obviously,
late bloomer.
Mm.
But I'm just... Right? But I'm just telling you, be patient with yourself and... Know that there's no time limit.
I love that. She winked. This is for those who are just listening. I got to wink. But I agree.
I want to know it.
I actually agree.
And 40 to 30, girl.
I agree. And I have to say that I don't feel any pressure. And honestly, I've never really wanted to get married. Good. So it's not something outside of visa purposes. You know, I never really wanted that. So, you know, for me, it's not even about that. But it's just, I just had a moment at 40 where I was like, okay, I need... Like new chapter. Well,
because as women, we're supposed to do this and we're supposed to do that. And then at this age, we're supposed to have 2.5 children or we're supposed to. And even if you're not that woman that has those same desires in that order, you start to feel like, is there something like maybe I'm speaking for myself.
No.
But I bet some women out there will understand what I mean when I say, is there something wrong with me?
No, literally. Every morning, my mantra. Gets me out of bed. What do you think of Noella and Sweet James? Because I know you have some thoughts. That Noella is very tough for me, Kristen.
I have a hard time with her.
Okay. I'm glad that we agree on that. That was almost like a litmus test for us. I knew you would say it.
I have a hard time with her.
You're being very neutral. I love that. Okay. Wow.
I can't help it. All I can do is say, this isn't your life.
I envy her skeleton. Like I look at her skeleton and I'm like, oh, wouldn't it be great to just be like that? Have that skeleton would be a dream.
She is a hanger. She's a clothes hanger. You can put anything on her and it's going to look amazing.
It's so unfair.
And by the way,
yes.
That's going back to the comparison that we do as women. I don't know about you, but I look at other women. I shop and I shop and go, I like her shoes or I like her dress or I like the coat. That's how I shop.
Of course. I also spend all my money. Kristen Chenoweth, let's talk about your book, because I know you have to go to our friend Seth Rudetsky, who I also adore. Wait, did you see Patti LuPone getting hit in the head with those flowers? I mean, I've watched it 100 times.
No, but I heard about it. Can you believe I haven't watched it yet?
Kristen, it's a 3-second long clip. I've had it on loop.
What happened?
She's on stage at Company. She goes to take a bow, and I'm sure a fan tossed some loose roses and it slammed her in the back of the head. It's perfect. I need you to look at it at some point.
I will. I love her so much.
Have you been in her basement? Have you been to that basement?
I've heard about it. But, you know, we've done shows together. I love her.
I know. You work with everybody.
You know what? You know what? Well, no, that's not true. But I like a lot of people. I like a lot of people. But she, when we did Candide, this opera together a long time ago, what she wants is she wants people to be good at their job because they're hired to do it. And that goes from the crew to the driver to the lead to, and I respect that.
I love that. I listen, she is one of the greatest performers we have. So you don't have to convince me about
Hattie. Hello, roses in the face. Like no one planned on that.
True, but you need to watch it. Remember when Toni Braxton got hit in the head on the Beauty and the Beast stage? Remember when she got slammed in the head? I always think about that.
There's been so many heading, slamming things on stage with me too that I just go, how am I even alive?
No, wait, let's talk about the book because I know we don't have much time.
Yes.
Okay, wait,
sorry.
It's a kid's book. What will I do with my love today? Can I just say your spirit is so infectious? Like just talking to you, my dream is to not only have you as my therapist, but also like drink with you and then get the real shit from you because I know you have some good stories.
Number two and number three, I'm your girl.
It has to happen.
Absolutely.
But this book, I love the title and it has such a beautiful message. Tell everyone why you wrote it. Who is it for? The whole thing.
I didn't set out to, when the pandemic hit, I didn't really set out to write a children's book, but I began to notice our kids and how they were having to adapt. And also, how do we show our love with affection, right? Shaking hands or hugging or, you know, heck, we were told don't breathe each other's air pretty much still. And the question wasn't what will I do with my love? It was more of how am I going to show my love? Because I'm behind a mask and a cone. It's like a babe neutered. Anyway, I rescued my dog Thunder and before the pandemic and 2 years prior. And I'm an adopted person. And I started thinking about that very question. What will I do with my love today? Because we're not supposed to do A, B, and C, and D. And it's basically me as a little girl and my Thunder pup taking on New York and showing how we show love. And it happens to be that I'm an adopted person. It happens to be that she's a rescue. I rescued her. And how you can be a family, not look alike, not even have the same interests, but your family. And that's what the book is about. What will I do with my love today?
I love it. And I love the selflessness that it brings because, I have no kids. And Kristen, one of the reasons is because I've been to like the Stardust Diner and I've seen how those kids behave. And they're little animals, you know, and they just don't have, there's no discipline anymore. And she's laughing, but you know that I'm right. There is a lack of discipline happening. And I feel like part of the word no, but I love the idea of giving love because that's a big one too, that I don't think is really being driven home enough in this sort of like TikTok obsessed, self-obsessed culture.
Yes. And that's why the book started with the question and ends with the same question. And whether you're 5 years old or 60, I hope we all are asking, especially of what we've all been through, not just in America, but the entire world.
Yeah.
There's a war going on right now. But we still have to, the more love we put out, the more we get. So it's actually selfish.
Well, isn't everything though? Like, isn't even charity? When you go, like, I used to work at a nonprofit and I was like, why was it the best job I ever had in my life? Like, it just was the most fulfilling. I worked with elderly people and I would take them to the bathroom and things. And it's because you were doing something selfish. I mean, deep down, but I miss those elderly people. May they rest in peace.
I know what you mean. And then we have a lot to learn from them still.
I know. And are they forgotten about in New York? A little bit. I felt that a little bit even during the pandemic. Didn't you?
Yes, I did.
I know. Yes. It's a good time to plug God's Love We Deliver as well. You know, I love that nonprofit.
Yes. I love God's Love We Deliver. Mm-hmm. Yes,
I always donate. That's like my number one place to donate because they give meals to people all over New York who are homebound and
can't
sick.
Literally get out to eat.
Literally can't leave. Kristen, I know you have to go. Can I just say though, like you need to have like a Brené Brown TED Talk. How do we get Kristen Chenoweth with the headset on that stage? You need to do that.
I would be so scared.
I mean, I know that's not true.
No, I would because, first of all, I love Brené Brown.
Who doesn't?
Thanks
for
even putting me.
You can borrow one of my ponchos. I have so many. girl.
I have ponchos too.
Girl, I got ponchos galore. Come on over for the ponchos. Okay, continue. You would be great at that.
What? You know Jaime Cahill, Jaime, the actor, he was in Schmigadoon. He gave me a poncho. I was like, oh, thanks. I love a poncho. I have so many.
I feel like there's a TED Talk in your future, and I don't know.
I love that you put that in the universe. Thank you.
That's I really mean it. I also was like very jealous that the Keep It people talked to you before me because I love them too. And I felt a little competitive.
It's only scheduling.
That's really true. Kristen Chenoweth is genuinely one of my favorite people. I like that I'm talking about you in third person, but I'm also looking at you. And you need to go buy her book. Buy it for your nieces, your nephews, your children, kids in the neighborhood. It's called What Will I Do With My Love Today? It's available in stores now. Also follow her at Kate Chenoweth. Kristen, I miss you. And when I'm back in New York, please come into the studio and hang out.
You know I'm gonna, and I'll bring you whatever you miss the most. What do you miss the most about being home?
Oh, my God. That's a really good question.
Food-wise.
I would say bagels, but it's not even... What do I miss? Like Israeli salad? I don't even know. Salad.
I'll bring you
sweet green. Sweet green. That's what
I'll bring you sweet green. Okay. That's what I will bring.
I literally eat loaves of bread here like Jean Valjean every morning. I can't... There's nothing but carbs. I mean, you don't even know what my life is, and I look awful.
One day more.
Kristen, thank you. Have fun with Seth. Miss you, adore you.
I miss you.
Congratulations. Thanks, Kristen. Talk to you later. Bye. Congratulations. Bye. Guys, that's Midnight Snack. I'm Michelle Collins. Thank you for joining us. Love you all. We'll see you next week. Midnight Snack is an Earwolf production, executive produced by me, Michelle Collins. Our producer is Anita Flores, and our sound engineer is Sam Kiefer. Special thanks to my friend, Dan Acton. You can listen to our ad-free episodes on Stitcher Premium. For a free one-month trial, use the code SNACK. Please rate and review Midnight Snack and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen. You can follow us on Twitter at MNightSnackPod. That's MNIGHTSNACKPOD. I love spelling. Midnight Snackers, we would love to hear from you. Send us your feedback, questions, or topics we should chat about. You can leave us a voicemail on our party line at 331-901-0005 or drop us a line at midnightsnack@earwolf.com. For more of me, tune into The Michelle Collins Show, live weekday mornings from 7 a.m. Eastern Time on Radio Andy, Sirius XM 102, and on the Sirius XM app. You can also follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at Mishcall, M-I-C-H-C-O-L-L.